Hello and welcome to IT Time, TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton in the TX organization, and this is part two with Richard Balsley. He's a TSP for the Windows 10 deployment. He's going to be talking about System Center, the latest version. So with that, Richard, I know you're waiting. Let's go ahead and kick that demo off.
All right. So what we're seeing here is the new Configuration Manager console in System Center Configuration Manager. This is our 15.11 release. So I'm in the Assets and Compliance node. Not really a whole lot of change was made here for what we're talking about here with Windows 10 upgrades. So what I want to do is actually look at a couple of different things first before we get into the Windows 10 upgrade piece. So I mentioned earlier that we have this new updates and servicing process with Configuration Manager where we're going to have multiple releases throughout the year to really match the cadence of Windows 10 releases as we move forward. So in order to deal with that, we've created this new node here called Updates and Servicing. Now, I don't have anything to install here because I'm using the latest version of Config Manager. But in the future, what we'll see here is we'll see the new releases that are being made available. So we would have a release here, give me the name and give me the date of the release. And I would go through this and actually be able to deploy that release through this node here. And then also any additional features, I can enable features, disable features if need be through this node. One other thing that we want to look at here from a Windows 10 perspective is what does this new Windows 10 servicing node look like? We looked at it a little bit in a screenshot, but in my environment here, I've got one device here that's running Windows 10 version 15.07, and 15.07 is our July release of Windows 10. So I've got one device here that's running that. I've got a deployment ring here, and this one's telling me here that this device is release ready. If I had an LTSB install in my environment, then I would see that I've got an LTSB device. And if I had a device that was actually opted into our current branch for business, then I would see that device here as well. And then through here, just to kind of go over some of this other stuff, I have the ability to define a servicing plan. It's telling me that I need to define a servicing plan because I don't have one enabled. And then also I have a little chart down here that explains our release cadence here of July and then November, and then we have March 2016, the date here for March 2016 doesn't really mean much of anything right now. There's no release that is, you know, slated for then. Who knows when the next release is going to come out, but right now there's just really no release that's going to be coming at that point. And then down here, there's just a little bit of information here that says, you know, information shown in this dashboard is provided for your convenience and only used internally within your company. You should not solely rely on this info to confirm update compliance. You want to actually confirm this, you know, through TechNet or through our blog posts, either on the Config Manager team blog or on the Windows team blog to make sure that you're still within the support lifecycle of the builds. This is just to kind of guide you on the way. So when we look through this node, we've got a couple of sub-nodes here. We've got a node here for all the Windows 10 updates. So with this node here, we see that we have a number of different Windows 10 installations, and this can be a little confusing at first because we don't have any languages here, and that's actually why we see so many of these. We see, if I sort this by title, we'll see a whole bunch of Pro, we see a whole bunch of Enterprise, we see a whole bunch of Education. So those of you that might be installing Config Manager today or may have already actually seen this, I'd be wondering, well, what am I looking at? Why do I see so many of these in my console? And it's actually because of the way that this is being displayed in WSUS currently is that we actually have a number of languages that actually don't, that are being filtered out. So this is an issue right now. It's being looked at into getting it fixed so that you only see the languages that you support. For instance, when you go to software updates with Windows, or when you go to software updates in Config Manager, you typically only see the updates that you have that you've enabled languages for. Well, in this case, we're actually seeing all the languages right now. So the way that I work around this is my clients, as they scan and they send new scan data in for the updates that they require, when I sort by required, this actually shows me the deployments that I need to deploy within my environment. So this is an easier way to see it. Instead of trying to figure out, okay, well, what are all of these that are down here? Just wait for your scan data to come in, and then you'll actually see the upgrades that are available to you that you need to install. And then when we go to servicing plans, I can go through here and I can create a brand new servicing plan. So I'll just right-click, say create servicing plan, and I'll call this Windows 10 test upgrade. And I need to target a collection. So if you've used automatic deployment rules before, it's pretty much the same kind of process here. So we'll browse the target collection and we'll specify a collection to use. I'm just using Windows 10 upgrade. And then when I do my servicing plan, I have the ability to specify which readiness state I want to apply the servicing plan to. Do I want to deploy this to my current branch machines, or do I want to deploy this to my business ready machines or those that are running current branch for business? And then I have the ability here to specify how many days after Microsoft has published a new upgrade would I want to wait before deploying in my environment. So like I was saying earlier, is that we could, you know, for your IT staff, you might have a deployment ring that, or a group or a servicing plan that you use that's much shorter than something that would go to the wide audience of your environment. So we could say that, okay, well, I'm going to wait, you know, maybe 2 weeks. You know, maybe people on the internet might say there's an issue with a Windows release or something like that, or maybe my IT staff, I'm going to test things first before I go out to my broader IT group. So 2 weeks is probably a good amount of time for me to wait for this automatic deployment to go. But you can even go further than that. You can go all the way out to 120 days to wait for this deployment to go. This is if you choose to actually make these go automatic through your environment. Now, there's no, you aren't obligated to do any of this. You have the choice of if you want to deploy things manually or if you want to go through an automatic deployment rule through a servicing plan. So we can say, you know, 14 days, hit next, and then we have a schedule. So if you've done updates before with SCCM, this is no different. For those that haven't done it before, we really have two different times that we need to set for our deployment schedule. The first time we set is our available time. And in this case, we can make an update available. We can make it so that it's available on a certain date. And then we have an installation deadline. And then the time between that, between the available time and the deadline time, that's the time that an end user will have to make a decision on whether or not they want to install something ahead of time. Once the deadline time hits, that's the time that the installation is going to go. So you can send out a notification to your end user saying, hey, the Windows 10 upgrade is going out. If you would like to install it ahead of time, please feel free to go to Software Center, do the installation manually. It will do a required installation at specific time, and you specify that time here. So in this case, we say that, you know, as soon as possible, we'll make this available. The deadline time is going to be, I don't know, 14 days from now. So you give your end users 2 weeks to do the deployment. And then for the user experience, we can specify whether we want to hide this in Software Center. And Software Center, for those that don't know, Software Center is it's the application that the end user would see to take care of any software installations. They can go there manually, or Software Center will just pop up. There's a little task tray icon that'll come up that shows the end user what is going on their device, whether it's installing applications or software or doing an upgrade to Windows 10. So here we have user notifications on what the end user would actually see. So we can display in Software Center and only show notifications for computer restarts. This is something that this is the most common use of the end user experience. It's only just notify the end user, hey, there's a reboot that's happening. When you're doing Windows 10 deployments, probably not a good idea to hide in Software Center and all notifications for most of your end users. You know, if you're doing like a computer lab, you probably don't care if there are notifications because you probably just want that lab to go. But if you are dealing with end users and a reboot could impact them or they could lose data, you definitely want them to know that there's something going on. So either this display in Software Center showing only notifications, or display in Software Center and show all notifications, either or. We also have the ability at deadline to specify what activities can be performed outside of any maintenance window. And a maintenance window is just the predetermined time that you have for a collection of machines to install software to do something on the device. So in this case, I'm not going to mess with any of these settings here. For device restart behavior, since we're deploying Windows 10, we probably don't want our servers to get Windows 10. They shouldn't really get it, but in the event that you're really, you know, scared of them rebooting, you can check the box that says we want to suppress the reboot on a server. But realistically, you probably don't need to worry about changing any of these settings here. And then write filter, we're not going to worry about that. So with our servicing plan, we need to create a deployment package. So we can create a new package. I've already made a package, so I'm just going to use that. And I can just select this Windows 10, 15, 11 upgrade package that I previously made. And then this is where the content is going to download to. So this is actually downloading through WSUS. So this is actually syncing the metadata from WSUS, and we're going out to the internet from Microsoft Update to pull the Windows 10, 15, 11 upgrade files, and it's going to put these in our deployment package. So I'm going to specify here to download software updates from the internet, and then specify that I'm only going to use the English language. And then that's it. My servicing plan is created.
That's great. That's great. It really dials in the flow and makes it really granular about what you want to do and what you want to deploy to. So I really like the servicing plan part that they added in.
Yeah. So now we've got the ability here we can run the servicing plan now. And what this will do is it'll actually go out and download the Windows 10 media into my package. I'm not going to do this now because it takes a little while, and I've got a different demo that I want to show for the actual deployment. But we can go to properties of this, and you can kind of see what that wizard really created for us. So we have the ability to modify some deployment settings here. We can modify the servicing plan collection and the deployment ring. So all these things we've touched on these already in the wizard. The evaluation schedule, and this is something that's actually important to really understand, because the evaluation schedule is how often this servicing plan is going to evaluate to see whether there's any new Windows 10 upgrades to deploy. So by default, it goes every day. So it's checking every single day to see if there are any new Windows 10 upgrades. And it's just using this essentially from the software update point synchronization. So the way that this is set right now is that run the rule after any software update point sync. So my software update point syncs daily. So this rule will run just after that. So just after midnight, this rule is going to run. But I can change this. I can say I want to run this on a schedule, or I can say do not run this rule automatically. And this might be something that is good for customers to run, because with Windows 10 upgrades, maybe you don't want things to happen automatically in the back end. Maybe you want to control when the servicing plan kicks off. So you have some options here, but you need to understand that this is where you need to go to make sure that your evaluation schedule isn't running at a frequency that you're not comfortable with. And then for our deployment schedule, so remember we made this change earlier. We said that as soon as a Windows 10 upgrade comes down, it's going to be available as soon as possible, but the installation the deadline is going to be 14 days. And we modified our user experience earlier, and then download settings and the deployment package that we created earlier. So these are all the settings that are in the servicing plan. So the next thing that I want to focus on here is, let's say you don't want to use a servicing plan because deploying Windows is a pretty big endeavor, and doing this automatically, maybe you're just not comfortable with it. So how else can you deploy Windows 10? Well, in the task sequence node here for operating systems, we have this new task sequence for an upgrade scenario that you can leverage. And we've also added this new node. It's really not that new. We've had it before, but we just renamed it, and it's called Operating System Upgrade Packages. And what this allows us to do is to take an ISO file, extract it, and then import that into SCCM. So what I've done previously, because this takes a little while for this process to actually work, I pre-created a Windows 10 Enterprise 1511 image in here, and I deployed it out to my distribution points. But to just kind of see what this process looks like, when we right-click on the node for Operating System Upgrade Packages and we say add Operating System Upgrade Package, it kicks off the wizard, and we just need to pass our extracted ISO to this location. So I'm just going to browse to that here. So this is my enterprise media. This is very simple. There's not a whole lot here that is going on. 1511, let's call it 2. And that's pretty much it. The only thing I have to do after this is then right-click on it and deploy it out to my distribution points. So I right-click, go to distribute content, and then I run through the wizard and I specify, I've got a distribution point group set up. So a group of distribution points is just what it sounds like. It's just all my DPs in specific groups. So in this case, I have 2 DPs and I've named my group all. And then this would just deploy that out. Since I've already done this, I'm not going to resend all this content out. So I'm just going to cancel out of this. And I'm going to dump this package here. So we've made the package, but now we need to actually use this package in something. So when we go into task sequences, and we right-click on that and say Create Task Sequence, we have this new option here called Upgrade an Operating System for Upgrade Package, or from Upgrade Package, sorry. So we click that option, and then we just name the task sequence. So Windows 10 Enterprise 1511 Upgrade. And then now I need to specify the upgrade package that I already pre-created. So I just go click Browse, and I select my upgrade package. And it tells me the OS version, which is 10.5.86, which is our November release. Gives me the architecture, language. And what you'll also notice here is, and this is something to not be alarmed by, when you look at this with your media, you'll grab your media off volume licensing, you'll import in here, and you'll notice, wait, it says Windows 10 Enterprise Technical Preview. Don't be alarmed. You're not using preview media. You're not using eval media. You are using the correct media. This is a bug that was identified late in the release, and it's most likely not going to be changed. So just be aware that when you go to volume licensing, you import your media into here and you see technical preview, it's not really an issue. You'll be able to deploy just fine. You'll be able to activate with your licensing keys, and you'll be able to work just fine. It's just an issue with the media. So our edition index, I only have one index in this media, and then I could pass my product key here. I'm not going to put a product key in here, but I could put that here if I needed to. So my next option is that I can include software updates. I don't have any updates that I'm going to include right now, but if I needed to, if I wanted to, I can specify that I want to include all my software updates or mandatory software updates. This is the same process that you're probably already used to if you're using Configuration Manager. And then we also have the ability to include applications. So I can include additional applications if I want. But realistically, when you're doing an upgrade of a machine, there's probably nothing that you really need to install on top of that, unless you're aware of maybe a bug or maybe some upgrade that has been made of an application that you have in your environment, or there's an app that you have to have it upgraded in order to run on Windows 10. So you might include that here. You might include some sort of maybe batch file or script to go and remove something and add something that you need. But for most cases, you probably don't need to really change anything here. All right, so I'll just go through the rest of this task sequence, just hit next, 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 and then close. And then now we have our task sequence. But before we deploy this, I want to actually show you what this task sequence looks like. Because if you've ever used MDT, or if you've used Configuration Manager, you're aware that the task sequences can get pretty long and hard to read. But with this upgrade task sequence, we really only have three steps. It's a very small task sequence. So this just shows how simple and easy it is to go through and actually do an upgrade of a device from Windows 7 or Windows 8.1 to Windows 10. So in the task sequence, this is what you get. We have the ability to check the readiness for the upgrade. So here we can put additional checks to make sure that we're meeting minimum system requirements, but we're also meeting the correct operating system type, whether you're a client or a server. So in this case, we're using Windows 10. We want to make sure that we're upgrading clients and we're not upgrading servers. We also have the upgrade client operating system step. So when we upgrade the operating system, we saw earlier that I had the ability to type in a product key, which I didn't, but we also have some additional steps here. We have the ability to prevent or to provide the following driver content to Windows setup during upgrade. So maybe you're aware of that there are some new drivers that have been made available to your machines, and you want to include those in a driver package. So you could do that, make a new driver package and specify it here. We also have the ability to stage content. So what you might use this for is maybe you've got maybe some tools, like maybe the sysinternals tools. Maybe you have, you know, CM Trace, or maybe you have something that you want to include on the device. So you might use the stage content to stage that content on the device and then copy that content to another location or another folder later on. But in most cases, though, you don't really need to make these changes. You can just leave this at default. We also have the ability to specify the timeout, as well as perform Windows setup compatibility scan without starting an upgrade. So that might be useful if you want to just do a compatibility scan and see, okay, well, which devices have any issues with Windows 10, and maybe fix those issues prior to doing the upgrade. We can also ignore any dismissible compatibility messages. Maybe there's a driver issue with a device that could cause a compatibility message to pop up and say, hey, Windows 10 won't run on this device. And then also we can dynamically update Windows setup with Windows Update. So maybe there's a servicing update that should be included if you need that, you can go ahead and just check the dynamically update Windows setup with Windows Update box here to go out and get any of those servicing updates that are required in order to allow Windows setup to complete successfully if there are any issues with it. But for most customers, what I would really suggest to you is just keep this at default. Keep this at default for now. Go ahead and do the, you know, test this out on a VM or a number of devices and just see how things go before you make any changes here, any drivers or anything like that. And then the last step here is our restart computer step. So it's what it sounds like. It's just going to do a restart of the machine and get you back into the operating system, to Windows 10. But we have a couple of additional groups here. We have this post-processing group. So post-processing is that these are steps that you can include to run after the operating system upgrade has been completed and the restart has taken place. And the way that this works is there's a task sequence variable that is associated with this group called SMSTS setup rollback equals false. So if we're not rolling back, so if we have not encountered an issue, then go ahead and install whatever or do whatever is in this post-processing group. So again, maybe you've staged content, like in this step earlier, where we staged some content here, and then maybe you want a copy of the CMTrace tool. CMTrace is our log file viewer for SCCM, but that log file viewer actually is really good for any other log files, because the nice thing about it is that it'll continuously watch the log file as new things are getting written to it. Whereas with something like Notepad, you don't really get that. You'd have to close the log file, reopen it, close it, reopen it. It makes it a little more challenging. So you might have some tools or something like that where you stage that content on the device and then copy it out to a different location, or even application or what have you. So this is where you would do those steps. The rollback option is really interesting because it's essentially using the same task sequence variable, but if rollback is set to true, then the device is rolled back to a prior, back to its old OS. So if you're doing a Windows 7 upgrade, something fails, something breaks, it rolls back to Windows 7, you might be wondering, okay, well, why did it fail? And you might need to get additional log files. So you could put a step in here to copy the log files to a different location and then read those log files at a later date. You might copy them up to a file share on a server or something like that, and then look at those log files and see if they're, you know, see if there's, maybe there's a number of devices that have this issue, and you can try to find some sort of commonality between the devices. Or you can do a number of other things. Maybe an application broke and you're aware of it, so you can reinstall an application or you have to re-register some DLLs, all sorts of different things that you can do through the rollback options. So you have that ability too. So you do the upgrade. If things worked well, go to post-processing, do those steps. If things did not go well, go to the rollback step and do anything there to remediate that device to get it back up and running. And essentially, that's pretty much it for the upgrade task sequence. Very simple, three steps. And then any additional steps you want to add.
Well, thanks, Richard.
And then the last thing I want to do is I want to do the deployment. So get this thing deployed out to our Windows 7 device and just kind of show what this experience looks like here. So when we made this change to, when we introduced Windows, the System Center Configuration Manager, I think it was the latest service pack, for R2 or for 2012 RTM, that would be Service Pack 2, there was an option that was added in there for what we call high-risk deployments. So when we do a deployment, now we see this box that comes up that says, this upgrade has a potential to be a high-risk deployment because it's an operating system deployment. So we have a number of customers that have actually accidentally deployed Windows to, maybe it was Windows 7 or Windows 8 to a number of servers, and those servers got completely re-imaged to the wrong version of Windows. They shouldn't have even been touched. So a lot of feedback has come on, okay, well, how do we handle this better, make it so that people are aware of these kinds of issues? So this is one of the things that we've done is we said, for any operating system deployments, when we are doing a deployment of those, pop up this message that says, hey, this is a high-risk deployment. So you're going to see here that you'll get this pop-up come up, and you'll see that we hide collections with a member count greater than the minimum, the site's minimum size configuration. So by default, that number is 100. So now I can uncheck this and show all of my collections, but I don't have, you know, I don't have 100 clients here, so you're not going to see, or I don't have a collection with 100 members in it, so you're not going to see any changes here. But in this case, what I want to do is I want to deploy this upgrade to my Windows 10 upgrade demo collection. So select that, go to next, and then I'm going to make this as an available deployment. I'm not going to make it required. And then I'm just going to go through the rest of the wizard. I'm just going to take the defaults of the rest of the wizard. I don't have to make scheduling changes or anything like that. So just keep these all at default. And now that that's done, I've got my collection over here, Windows 10 upgrade demo, and this is my Windows 7 Enterprise machine. So give this a few moments here to create that policy. I'm going to log into my, I've got a Hyper-V host over here that I need to log into. So let me pull this over here. And on this host, I've got a, oops, that's a distribution point. There, I've got a Windows 7 VM. Let's just make this full screen so it gets some of that stuff out of the way. So we'll see here on this device, it's running Windows 7. It's been patched through Windows Update. I've got Office 2016 installed on it. I've got a couple of documents on my desktop. I've modified the desktop wallpaper. So what I want to do now is I want to run that task sequence that I deployed to the device. So we'll just go through and kick off policy here. I go into the control panel, the control panel applet, and I'm going to kick off machine policy retrieval and evaluation. And this will take a little bit of time, but we'll see here that I've got new software that's available. And as I drill into that, I will see my Windows 10 Enterprise upgrade is available. So I'll select this, and I'll say install selected. It's going to give me a warning. It's going to say, okay, well, we're installing a new operating system. So I just want to make sure to take that. And then it'll take a few moments for it to start the upgrade. And once the upgrade begins, then it will take, depending on the speed of the hardware, it could take anywhere from half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour, to maybe an hour. It just depends on the device. Aside from that, that's pretty much it.
Excellent. Excellent. Great run through. Talking about Windows 10 deployment and also with System Center, and we'll call it the latest version.
Thanks.
Great presentation. Great demo. Thanks, Richard Balzi, for being here. He's a TSP for Windows 10 deployment, working on System Center, the latest version. With that, any last words, Richard? Some resources where we can point the viewers to?
Yeah, so the Configuration Manager team blog, I'd recommend everyone go there and keep up to date with what they're posting there. Same thing with the Windows team blog. Both of those locations are where both teams provide the latest information about their products. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Well, thanks a lot once again, Richard, for being on IT Time TechNet Radio. And with that, it's a wrap.